Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Hi, you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels at BlakeRadio.com on Rainbow Soul. And today's episode is Ayahuasca. This is Tuesday, April 8th, 6 p.m. And this is really an interesting show, I think, and something I wish I had heard, information I wish I had had before I tried ayahuasca. Not that I wouldn't have done it, but just that I would have had, I think, more down-to-earth expectations. So please visit vitalitycapsules.com, as always, and get your free report. Actually, it's quite a valuable gift. Non-antibiotic solutions to 10 common infections. That's at vitalitycapsules.com, and you can spare yourself the deadly effects of antibiotics. As always, I welcome your calls and questions. Please call in at 914-338-0695 and check out the chat room, which is healingwithdrdaniels.chattango.com. There's some concern about whether or not that was working, but it is working now, so check it out. It's usually a lively discussion going on there during the show. I have to say, I'm calling you from the Island of Sin. Yes, the Island of Sin. That would be Bocas del Toro in Panama. It's an archipelago, a group of islands off of the shore of Panama. So since I'm here, I'm broadcasting from here. Now, you probably wonder why it's called the Island of Sin. It's called the Island of Sin because it used to be the center of pirate rings, and a lot of ships were pirated and their treasure buried or hidden in this particular area. But it has continued forward to this day, to now, where apparently it's the other islands, not the particular one I'm on, but the other islands, where they do a lot of cocaine or traffic in it. And I think the Coast Guard seized, I won't say Coast Guard, but whoever the police of the oceans are, seized 2,000 pounds of the stuff. So they're coordinating the transit to Mexico and supplying all of Mexico. So that's why it's the Island of Sin. Of course, prostitution and everything else. A lot of other things are legal as well. But I'm keeping my nose to the grindstone and doing my show tonight. So you say, why am I on the Island of Sin? It happens to be where they're doing the visa paperwork, and I'm getting my visa. So wish me luck with that. So, ayahuasca. I got to start with what everyone knows about ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is great. It's fabulous. It's the elixir of the gods. It's a miracle. It cures everything. It gives you visions. And it's from the jungles of Peru. Now, it's credited with curing just about everything, addictions, cancer, arthritis, diabetes. And, of course, it's illegal in the United States except for religious reasons. Listen up. The only way in the United States at the moment people are allowed to access healing of their choice is by declaring it part of a religious practice. You're not allowed to say, well, I thought about it. I've weighed the pros and cons, and I think this is a good idea. No. When it comes to health, people are as children, and the government is as a parent. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's the way it is, so it's a good time to get religious. So what I'm going to tell you about is how I became aware of ayahuasca and just really walk you through my experience with ayahuasca. And I think it's pretty representative because I've each time I went through with a group of about 6 to 10 people, and I talked to other people about what they experienced and what they found. And it's pretty much the same thing. So you may decide it's worth a trip to Peru. You may decide it's not, but I'll just let you know what the deal is. Okay, so how did I learn about this? Back in the year of our Lord, 1997, I did the unthinkable, absolute unthinkable, something a doctor should never do, but I did it. I bought a ticket to a conference on alternative healing, and I went to the conference on alternative healing. And at that conference, a lot of things really exciting happened, but one speaker came and he talked about ayahuasca and his trips to Peru, and he talked about ayahuasca in just incredibly glowing terms, and, you know, he had this experience where he communicated with other worlds and spirits, and it was just awesome, and, you know, people became aware of things happening with their relatives in other parts of the world, and I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And he did say, being a shaman is tough work because sometimes you can go to the other world and not come back. In other words, you can lose your mind and never get it back. And I said, wow, that's pretty dicey. But as a result of that, I bought this book, Rainforest Medicines, Medicines of the Rainforest. I read it from cover to cover, actually three times, which is easy to do because it's only like 120 pages. So I read that and started actually using a few of those healing things in my medical practice, another no-no for doctors. But I was still very intrigued and really curious about ayahuasca. And then 4 years later, after I lost my license, I met this person who was totally in favor of every single drug known to man. You name it, he was in favor of it. But he was very much in favor of ayahuasca as a way of curing addictions and drug addictions. And I thought, well, it's very interesting. But again, I was not going to catch a plane over it. And things kind of just settled down, and I didn't hear anything more about it, didn't really think much about it, until I landed in Panama in 08. And then in 2010, I went to this Gringo meeting, and the speaker was very much interested in ayahuasca, had noticed miraculous healing results with ayahuasca, and was sponsoring a Peruvian shaman to travel throughout Central America and to do ayahuasca ceremonies. I said, oh, my God, this is my chance. And so for a mere $150 a person, I said, well, I'll do it. And my then not-yet husband, we were together at the time, I said, well, you know, oh, golly geez, you want to do it with me? He says, well, I think I'd better. I said, well, okay. So he felt that since I'd never used drugs of any kind before, that this ayahuasca might just be the last straw, the last he'd ever see of me. So he sat me down and talked to me about, you know, drugs and you know, that you have to be really careful with them and don't take too much. If you feel like you're going to slip over the other edge, whatever, just stop taking it or whatever. So he gave me up just really big talk. I mean, you'd think he was my father and I was 12 years old or something. But I listened to everything. I figured, well, what the heck, you know, maybe it might be useful. So part of taking ayahuasca, like a lot of people think, oh, you just go ahead and take ayahuasca. No, you don't. There is a rather extensive diet associated with taking ayahuasca. And diet is actually fairly challenging to follow. And you also have to abstain from sex. You can't have sex for at least a week before you have the brew. And you have to follow a diet essentially of whole foods and no meat and no dairy. So this is very very important, and they recommend you do it so that you can get better results. And we're going to get to the actual diet. It's pretty austere. Basically, breakfast is boiled yuca. That's what we have down here. Or some kind of boiled starch with some vegetable. Lunch is a salad with more boiled starch and vegetables. And then dinner only if you insist. So it's really a diet that can be challenging to follow. Oh, here you go. Breakfast. I said starch, but that's not what the shaman says. The shaman says only one type of fruit and eat as much as you like, except banana. So I picked pineapple, and my now husband picked papaya. So that's all you can eat for breakfast is that fruit that you pick and as much as you want of it. Lunch, and they even give you a list, a good portion of salad, which is lettuce, carrot, cucumber, avocado, celery, spinach, and so on. And just to season this with drops of lime and olive oil. And maybe you can have half a portion of yucca, potato, some kind of boiled grain if you're hungry. And my husband was very hungry. And dinner is the same as breakfast. Well, if you're really hungry, you can eat the same as lunch. And the shaman's not too big on water. So what the shaman says is a glass of water if you want it, which is really shocking. And well, let's get back to that document. I'm also working on a 13-inch screen here, so I don't get everything that everything in one screen like I usually do. Usually I have five screens open, which I do now. And I can go back and forth easily because I have plenty of space, but not today. Okay, so it's highly recommended to start the diet 1 week before the ayahuasca ingestion and the day of the ceremony. Only two meals must be ingested, breakfast and lunch, leaving out dinner because the medicine has to be in an empty stomach. And if you want to fast, they say so much the better. And the body has to have a previous cleaning for the medicine to penetrate into the organism and to work. And so this particular shaman at the time was offering group and individual ceremonies, and it was billed as a sublime and healing trip with his clearing, cleaning, and curing the mind, emotions, and physical body, revealing the authentic reality of your inner universe, which is very interesting. I would say certainly taking ayahuasca definitely reveals the authentic reality of your inner universe, and that's something I think most people go a whole lifetime without ever being even remotely aware of. So the next thing that happened was we got an email saying, hey, thanks a lot, $150 a person. We said, hey, no problem. And they said, shaman only takes cash. He said, no problem, we'll bring $300. And 3 days later, we get another email saying, you know what, the price has doubled. And so we thought that the people promoting the shaman were crooks and thieves and just trying to rip us off, right? Well, the people promoting the shaman later said, no, it was the shaman who doubled the price because he felt the gringos, that would be us English speakers, were too willing to pay the $150, so it had to be too low a price. But they had to educate the shaman and explain to him that when you set a price and people pay it, then that's, you accept the price and you leave it at that. Okay, so we got to the place of the ceremony. And the place of the ceremony was a private home, so they always pick a private home. And the shaman inspects it to make sure it has good energy and it's in a good place. And he actually does a ceremonial cleansing of the air in the space and around the outside of the house before the ceremony. And so the ceremonies start at dusk, and so we drove up this big, huge mountain, very poor road, and got there at dusk. And you have to bring your own blanket, your own pillow, because the ceremony lasts from dusk all the way to sunup. And it is a marathon. You also have to bring quite a bit of water, like 2 quarts of water, and a container to puke into. That was a surprise to me. I said, what am I bringing this bucket for? Oh, it's for you to throw up into. I said, oh, okay. So you get there, and the shaman lights up his pipe, and he puffs smoke all over the room, and it cleanses the atmosphere. I could not figure out what kind of smoke or what kind of tobacco he used, but I did not find it especially terrible. And so he puffs all around the room, and then he goes to each person and puffs in their face and puffs all around them, and the tobacco smoke is cleansing. So you've now been smoked, and everyone else in the room has been smoked as well. And now the shaman goes from person to person with the ayahuasca. I believe he pours a little bit into a cup and tells you to drink this. And everyone drinks out of the same cup. But no one got sick. Nobody died. Nothing awful happened. And so once you drink this, you then kind of curl up and put your blanket over yourself, and the shaman starts chanting. And it's really very interesting. It takes about half an hour, any chance. And you can pick out certain words. Like I could pick out a few words like medicine, and healing and those kinds of things. And so what he does is he chants literally all night long. And so the first 10 minutes is uneventful. Then the visions appear. They appear bit by bit. It's like when you go to a web page and certain features of the page show up and then other features and then other features. So I'm going to try and describe to you what the ayahuasca vision looks like. So I can't say, well, you're going to see plants or you're going to see people or you're going to see this or that. The images on the internet, if you find them, are just awesome. That's not what I saw. But what I saw was components of those images. So I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like two railroad tracks in neon color. It can be any color, neon green, neon yellow, neon orange, pink, any neon color. So two lines. In between those lines are little balls or packets. They're discrete and separate. And they glow as well. And they move. They're moving. And the paths are curved, and sometimes they're crossed, and sometimes they form a basket weave. The patterns can form anything. Again, the internet, they seem to form people, they form baskets, they form all kinds of things. Not what I saw. But as the ayahuasca grows in your system, the image becomes more, becomes sharper, and little packets that are moving in between the tracks start moving faster. Very interesting. Meanwhile, the shaman is chanting. Now, as the shaman chants, the vision changes. So as the shaman chants, the vision gets brighter and seems to vibrate and move and grow and develop with his chanting. You can actually feel your whole body responding to the chanting, which is an incredible feeling. So it's the combination of the ayahuasca, the chanting, and the 1 week prior cleansing. So it's not a simple, I'm just going to drink some ayahuasca. And it's really a very interesting experience. And it really challenges linear thinking, the idea that this causes that, and first this and then that. And also this concrete thinking that we're trained to engage in. So it really challenges all of that. So the shaman is chanting and chanting and chanting, and you're seeing the images, whatever your images are. Everyone's images are different. No two images are the same. And So you're in this room, and you are aware that other people are there. You are aware that you're seeing this incredible thing you've never seen before. And you're aware that it has energy. So, of course, my first thought was, well, I hope it's friendly. And so the shaman, before we took the ayahuasca, said, you're going to see the spirits. And it would be nice if you had some kind of inquiry, something you want to ask the spirits, ask them about. It could be something in your life, a big decision. Just ask them something. So the shaman is chanting. I see this vision. The vision's moving. You know, these little packets are moving around. And parts of the vision are getting brighter, and parts are getting dimmer, and parts are changing. And so far, so good. You know, I'm not ready to jump up and run out and scream or anything. And then I become aware of a presence. So within the vision, so there's the vision, and then there's me, and then there's a third presence, not the shaman. And so this presence I can feel or be I'm aware of in my mind, and it's saying, well, what can I do for you? Is there something you'd like? I'm like, oh, that must be the presence. And so I said, yeah, what am I going to do with Gary, that's my now husband. And so this, because I was trying to figure out, you know, this guy's really spending a lot of time hanging around, you know, where is this going here? How can I sort this out? And so this consciousness or presence or whatever you want to call it said, oh, Gary, just go ahead, just love him, that's all he needs. I said, oh, okay, I said, I can do that, it's easy. So that was my encounter with the other world. But the shocking thing about it is you realize that thing is there and that it's not you and that it's not the image. And then the image changes. When I say it changes, your perception of the image changes and that the image becomes you, and then it separates and becomes the image, and then it becomes you. Very interesting. Now, this is my first go-around with the... With the whole experience. So meanwhile, the shaman is chanting. We're about halfway through now. And one person at a time has to get up to go to the potty. And so people are going to the bathroom back and forth. People are retching and vomiting all around you. You're just really just bringing up stuff. And people are just going back and forth to the bathroom. People are puking and having diarrhea and having diarrhea and puking and having puking and diarrhea. And the shaman is chanting throughout all of it. I did not throw up, though, but I can tell you it's definitely part of the experience. Now, another part of the experience is when you see these colors, you realize that you've never seen these colors like this ever before. And the colors are neon and fluorescent. But what suddenly dawns on you is whoever came up with neon and fluorescent coloring must have had ayahuasca. And you realize that, oh, my God, these people had ayahuasca. And then the shaman asked everyone, would they like another hit? I'm using the word hit because it's a slang term that everybody understands. But the shaman asked, would people like a second helping of the ayahuasca? And then people say yes or no, and if you say yes, you get more, and if you say no, then you don't. And especially if you're heavier, you need a second dose because it is weight-related. Now, when I did ayahuasca, I was extremely, extremely slender. I guess you could say really a lightweight. It's only like 133 pounds, which is pretty light for 5'10". So I only took one helping. I decided I would not take the second helping. Now, the next thing that happens during the evening, again, the shaman is chanting. He then goes to each person and sprays them with ayahuasca. Now, if you're a more colloquial term for it, he spits on people, spits ayahuasca at you. But it's a spray. He sprays it all over you. He puts it in his mouth and sprays it. And I guess it's mixed with the tobacco that he was smoking as well. But it's harmless, and you can always just, you know, wipe it off. And it's just part of the process. Now, the chanting goes on, and he goes to each person, and he tells them what he thinks their affliction is. And he explains to them what their affliction is, and then he does a special chant for them to help address their affliction. And, you know, the way the marketing goes, I'm sure there's some truth to it, it helps with cancer, depression, drug addiction, trauma, psychosis, all kinds of harms and curses. And he will tell you, like, he explained to me that I had been cursed, actually a few times, and that the fact that I had been cursed was at the root of all of my health concerns, to the extent that I had any. And so it's very, very, very interesting. And so he goes to each person, chants a special piece of chanting for them, and if you need extra chanting, he does extra chanting for you to help route out the various curses and the harms. And so I'd like to tell you what happened then that evening. So other people came. There were people who had numbness in certain parts of their body that they had for decades. The numbness went away. Another person regained their sense of smell. People had arthritis that was improved. And of course, there were people who didn't really feel anything. So there's the whole range, but there was not any complete cure of anything. At the time, I had been in Panama for 2 years, and I believe that I picked up this parasite of sorts. This parasite had, I guess you could say, totally consumed my right leg. It was getting pretty awful. And so I was hoping ayahuasca could help with this condition, because it was getting to the point where I was wondering if I needed an amputation or something. And the ayahuasca reduced the itching and swelling, but the rest of it just, it was still there. It was weeping and just an awful mess. So it was not life-changing, but it was certainly for me, from a spiritual or emotional or perceptual standpoint, a different experience. Now, that was the first time. The second time, I had less of an effect. And the third time, less of an effect. And the fourth time, even less of an effect. And the fifth and sixth times, I definitely could have stayed home. So either the shaman was diluting the mix, which is possible, anything's possible, or I was simply having less and less of an effect from it. So what I found was that there is no magic pill. Ayahuasca is not a magic potion. I mean, it's not a one-shot pill. It can certainly realign your body's electricity, your perception of the world, and I would say actually in a pretty good way. But it's not reasonable to expect anywhere from 1 to even 6 ayahuasca treatments to cure you or relieve you of a chronic lifetime condition. It may open another door to healing or help you understand things in a way that allows you to heal, or actually allow your body to understand things in a way that allows you to heal. The other thing about ayahuasca is that it cleans and aligns the 7 body energetic centers. And it awakens intuition, telepathy, clairvoyance, far hearing, and other concealed faculties in humans. But I think what happens is that you're more in touch with the energies of the planet, and they can move through you more clearly without blockages. And when you look at the images, or when you see the images, you will actually see part of the image might be missing or might be dim, and it's my interpretation that recommends that reflects better blocked energies in energy centers of your body. And things like intuition and telepathy are simply, I believe, being more in touch with information that's all around you and readily available. And so, it's certainly reasonable to see that those things would be enhanced. So now, what else happened with the shaman? Now, the shaman also gives everyone their own private reading and explains what is going on with them. And in my case, he assured me that I was at death's door and could only be saved by a one-month trip to Peru with an all-inclusive $1,000 fee for whatever it would take to heal me. And that if I did not act promptly, I would surely be dead in 1 year. And it was lucky I found ayahuasca. Besides, he told me, I could get rich teaching and healing others with what I would surely learn under his care. Of course, that was 4 years ago. I'm still alive. My leg is totally healed up. It's absolutely fine. I wonder what healed it. Believe it or not, Vitality Capsules and Turpentine healed it up. But I digress. So my not-yet-husband was extremely, extremely skeptical and says, that's a bad idea. I don't think you need to go to Peru. It's really not to see that guy. At the same time, the shaman's sponsor had become disillusioned with the shaman and no longer endorsed him, although she did maintain her belief in ayahuasca. Now, I did six therapies, not all on the same night, right? So it was over a period of time, actually a period of maybe 2 months. And so I did encounter the shaman walking down the street. And, you know, I said hello to him and realized that he was, actually I didn't realize it was my not-yet-husband, who immediately spotted that he was totally, thoroughly intoxicated. And the sponsor had arranged that the monies collected from these ayahuasca ceremonies would be partly used to produce a movie and partly sent back to Peru to assist with whatever ayahuasca-type activities were going on there. And so the shaman was opposed to that because, of course, he needed a substantial sum to keep himself intoxicated. Now, I don't say this to disparage the shaman, but I say it to mean that shamans are human. They're not perfect people. They're human. So they do possess certain skills, but they are human beings. And similarly, ayahuasca itself is an herb. It's a plant. It's like a tomato, just like parsley, whatever. And it has the potential to have profound effects under certain circumstances. At the same time, it's probably not going to cure any one thing completely and not going to have an effect on everything. Having said that, it's probably worthwhile to experience it once in your life. I don't know if I'd buy a ticket to Peru, but you know, that would be my assessment of it. So again, I talked to the shaman some more, you know, being my optimistic person I am. And I said, well, what do you think I should do with this leg? What kind of diet would you recommend? And that was very interesting. The shaman recommended drinking urine. He's very much a fan of drinking urine. And I had been thinking about drinking urine for some time at that point. I'd never gotten around to it. And so the shaman was very much gung-ho and said, definitely drink urine in the morning, at night, and at least twice during the day. In fact, if you could drink all of your urine, that would be great. Well, I couldn't manage all of it, but I did manage some substantial sips. And this is what he recommended. He recommended 9 a.m. breakfast with 2 cups of spinach, as measured before you cook it, with 2 grated radish and a handful of toasted corn. Well, in Panama, we only have 1 kind of corn. That's the corn that they feed to cattle. And believe it or not, people eat it, and boy, is it hard. And they take that stuff, and you toast it slash roast it, and you've got some pebbles, is what you've got. So I had 2 cups of spinach with these corn pebbles and some grated radish. Radish is hard to come by down here because it's such a warm climate that radish does not grow very well in. So that was 9 o'clock. Oh, by the way, 7 o'clock, I'm supposed to get up and put my towel in cold water and friction rub my upper extremities, lower extremities, trunk, and back. That was not possible because my skin is way too delicate for that. All right, so at 11 a.m., I still take an apple, put it through my juicer, and drink half a cup of apple juice. At 1 p.m., I'm supposed to eat a kilogram of grapes. That's 2.2 pounds of grapes. At 4 p.m., a half cup of carrot juice and a quarter cup of lettuce juice. Boy, did I learn about lettuce juice. Lettuce is profoundly bitter. I'm talking about iceberg lettuce. Profoundly bitter, and it's a powerful liver cleanser. So that I learned, definitely learned something there. However, it's almost impossible to drink lettuce juice straight. Do mix it with the carrot juice. So that was, I was able to get it down. Then 2 cups of spinach, 1 boiled carrot, and a handful of toasted corn again. And then at 9 p.m. an enema, and then at 9:30 p.m., more carrot and lettuce juice. And I was supposed to go on this for a full week. And then that was a difficult diet to follow, although I did stick with it. And you might imagine I lost a lot more weight. I got down to a size 1/0. Yes, that's pretty skinny for 5'10" tall. So it helped my rash, I would say modestly, maybe it got me where I no longer thought of getting an amputation, but it was still fairly severe. And so I was in between Vitality Capsule shipments. And so when the Vitality Capsules became available, I started taking them, and in 2 days the rash was cleared up. This is really shocking. And so that is really the gist of the ayahuasca story. So ayahuasca works in conjunction with the diet and in conjunction with a shaman. And it's not a cure-all or the answer to everything, but it is definitely something to try. Okay, so if you have questions, I'll take questions now. Meanwhile, let me see here. Oh, there's a couple of questions. Hi, you're on the air. Your question? Hello? Okay, let's try another caller.
Can you hear me?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, it's that stuff you were talking about. I'm so glad you said that they told you you're going to die right away if you don't do it, and you didn't do it right away, because a lot of it, to me, sounds like, you know, a disguised level of, some of the chanting, you know, I've been taught that when you're chanting, you don't know really what you're saying, and you could be worshiping Satan. So I would just say be careful with that.
That's an excellent point. It turns out that that's a very real hazard with ayahuasca. And with ayahuasca, there are what they call the good shamans that actually heal people, and then there are the shamans who work on the dark side. And, of course, since I don't speak the shaman's language, I have no clue which shaman is which. So I was relying on Yunin was her name, the person who sponsored the shaman and bought him to Panama. So, yes, and in shamanism and in ayahuasca, they acknowledge that. They acknowledge that you could have a shaman who's on the dark side who could be not only worshiping Satan, just take a little step further, commandeering your spirit for purposes that are evil. And so that's actually a concern. So if you're going to do ayahuasca, you know, you definitely need to pick your shaman. And, you know, that's not anything to take lightly, actually. Hi, you're on the air. You have a question? Okay. We are going to go check out our chat room because the chat room is hopping with questions. Yes. So someone asked, could the shaman lead some people in one direction and other people in others? The answer is absolutely yes. I think if you're going to try ayahuasca, you definitely need to check out your shaman to the extent that you're able to. And unfortunately, you're really relying on the person who's sponsoring the shaman or bringing you into contact with the shaman because of the language barrier. Most shamans speak Peruvian, and they don't speak English. So it's tough to sort that out. So you have that dependency. So you need to really be cautious about that. Are there any medical conditions that I would advise against taking ayahuasca? You know, it's a whole lot of puking and a whole lot of diarrhea that can happen. So, you know, if you're on, say, a diuretic or a water pill, if you have a condition that can be influenced by heavy salt losses, and that would be something like either kidney disease or, again, certain blood pressure medicines, or if you're diabetic, taking diabetic medicine, it could be a hazard. But, again, if you know you have those conditions, sometimes you can plan for those. So you have to decide what you are willing to risk. I'm personally not aware of anyone who's died or been harmed by ayahuasca, but I understand it's a possibility. Yeah, so this person in the chat room says that they did have a sister who died with both ayahuasca. So, you know, even if you don't have an affliction, there is a risk, and you need to decide for yourself how much of a risk you want to take. You know, I had raised my children and, you know, on in life. So I didn't, you know, I felt I was willing to take the risk. It's like when I was trying out turpentine, I was willing to take the risk. And so each person needs to really accept that personal responsibility for themselves. Someone asked, is ayahuasca the same as the angel trumpet plant? Oh, my God, no. The angel trumpet plant, I would not touch that. I would not in any way try that. Angel trumpet plant is a beautiful plant. The flower looks like a trumpet and hangs upside down. They come in white, yellow, and pink. They're actually all over Panama. And they're in Nicaragua as well, in Colombia. In Panama, they're not a problem. When I say they're not a problem, I mean people don't use them in criminal ways. But in other countries in Central America, they use the angel trumpet plant to drug people so that they can rob them. And it's quite a scandal. So they're beautiful plants, but don't you know, you don't want to sniff them or inhale them, and you definitely don't want to make a tea out of them. There was a gringo who came down here to Panama who made a tea out of, I think, 7 or 8 trumpet flowers, and went into a coma and never woke up. So just because something's a plant, just because it's natural, does not mean that it's safe at all doses. As I mentioned in my last radio show, if you're going to use anything, you need to know the minimum lethal dose. And for us chickens, you like to stay below that minimum lethal dose. And a lot of people will try something and not inquire as to the minimum lethal dose. Usually, if you ask a shaman, what is the minimum lethal dose of this stuff, he'll tell you, because he knows. He's done this before. And you let him know you want to stay below that dose, and he can do that for you. So you definitely want to do that. Next question. How long does the brew remain in your system? That's an excellent question, because it's a difficult question to answer. So when you take the brew, and then you start seeing the visions. The visions usually last about 4 hours, but you can see the visions again and again for years. And usually, I'll speak from my personal experience, I would see the visions when I was going to sleep at night. And so my interpretation of seeing those visions, and I want to know, is that my body was entering a healing phase, and that my body was accessing the memories of the ayahuasca to heal certain things. Just my interpretation. maybe that's not what it really is at all. But the brew only remains in your system for hours, but your ability to see those visions lasts for a long time. I would say I haven't seen any lately. But it's been 4 years. So I would say easily for 2 years, I would commonly see the vision. But personally, I was not disturbed by them or bothered by them. They were just there. And I feel like, well, I guess I have a little extra spiritual energy kicking around. Hopefully it's doing some good stuff. How long must one be on a diet? Now, the ayahuasca diet, the diet for ayahuasca, the shaman recommended a week. But the truth is, everyone is in a different place. In other words, some people have a diet heavy in meats, heavy in processed foods, and for them, it would probably be a better idea to be on the cleansing diet of fruit for breakfast, salad and yuca for lunch, in order to clean out their system. And that way they would be less likely to have an issue and more likely to have a positive experience. And someone in the chat room says that they felt they had information pouring into their brain. And I would say yes, but it's not an obtrusive type of information where you get information overload or you feel your brain is being overloaded. The ayahuasca is like this presentation. It's like, here is some information that will help you. It's, here is another perception. Here is another dimension. Here is something for you to look at. And so what I liked about it was a very much, I felt, an experience that I had control over where I could say, oh, I want to look closer at that image, or, you know what, I don't think I want to look so close. So very, very interesting. The part that was, I think, the most disconcerting would be feeling my body vibrate and pulsate with the chanting of the shaman. And the thing is, without the ayahuasca, you don't feel it at all. And so by morning time, the shaman may still be chanting. And because the stuff was out of my system, my body just perceived the chanting as sound. It didn't have that continuity where I felt that my body was an extension of the sound wave. So the question is, would I do it again? No, I would not do ayahuasca again. In other words, from where I sit now, I would not do it again. The other question is, would I do it the first time? So knowing what I know now, would I do it the first time? Yeah, I would do it the first time because I'd never seen those images before. I'd never seen that energy movement, and I didn't have that understanding of that spiritual presence and its ability to provide information. So that was, for me, useful and helped me in terms of having an open mind. And so I would definitely do it again the first time. Would I do it 6 times? No, I wouldn't. I would probably have done it maybe once or twice. So I think 6 times was a bit much. Again, though, maybe the shaman was diluting the formula, but whether he was or not, you know, I certainly got enough information from the first time around. We can use any knowledge. Okay, is ayahuasca useful in type 1 diabetes? I do not know. I don't have any information on that. Can a shaman see our soul? No. This shaman certainly couldn't. What the shaman does, I won't say pretend to do, what he represents himself as doing, is the shaman represents himself as looking at the curses that have been put against your soul, the afflictions on your soul, emotional, spiritual, and the we think of them as diseases. And ever since humans were able to do cadaver dissections, we look at illness as residing in this organ or that organ or the other organ. More and more evidence suggests that that's just not a useful picture of what's going on. So the picture of what's going on is the body is having a stress or a failure. It hasn't got enough something. It hasn't got enough nutrition, enough energy, enough something to keep you alive. And so what it does is it makes a decision that one organ is going to be downgraded or, as they say in the computer language, you're going to power down one organ so the rest of the organs can survive. And so this is more the shaman's view of things. So the shaman sees is that your body is under some kind of stress, generally a curse, and that this, now the word curse, we have to explain what a curse is. A curse, we'll put it in modern 2014 language, is electromagnetic energy that's preventing your body from functioning and transferring energy easily through all the energy centers of the body. So we call that, that's the word for a curse. Okay. So what the shaman sees is there's this energy blockage, and this energy blockage is electromagnetic, is contained of certain electrons, and that he can say certain words to unblock these channels. And so during the ceremony also, he will massage people in certain areas, apply percussion in certain areas to help unblock this, I'm going to say for better comprehension of the audience, electromagnetic energy. Now, again, the word curse is, I think, is simply the best approximation of what they mean, and a lot gets lost into translation. So what's really going on here is not so much a curse, or you might want to put it in a three-year-old's language, which is badness. Okay, so the other question in the chat room is, ayahuasca is used with one other plant, but to activate the right enzymes, the person can enter the other reality. Yes, it is a combination of two plants. There's the vine, which is ayahuasca, and then there's one other plant. And again, this other reality is more, like I said, this the seeing of the visions, the understanding of this consciousness that's present in the world that you can have access to and that can help you, heal you, and guide you. And so that is the other reality they're talking about. I don't perceive it as getting high, like when you take Tylenol with codeine, you're just out of it. This is not that kind of thing. You're actually, your brain is interacting with this information and with this consciousness. So it's not a matter of going into another reality. Because once you go there, you realize that there is always there. So it's not that you're going into another reality and then coming back to this reality. It's that you are aware that this thing, this energy exists, and that it can be there for your use and for your benefit and for your healing. And so once you understand that, it's just an awareness that you have that you just didn't have before. And with that awareness, you can have a much more open mind in terms of accessing energy to heal and accessing, understanding the healing aspects. So someone said, can you unstop the experience? I don't think so. All you can do is either control how much you take. So it's not possible to stop the experience. The vitality pills mixed with this stuff, I don't know because I didn't take them with it. I mean, I just followed the cleansing diet and took absolutely nothing. I didn't even take vitamins. So I wanted to find out really just about ayahuasca when I took it. But that's actually a good question, which is, what about instead of ayahuasca? Basically, the anatomical experience with ayahuasca is you puke a lot and you poop a lot. And obviously, Vitality Capsules can help you poop a lot. What can make you puke a lot or throw up a lot? That would be syrup of ipecac, which is actually an herbal blend. And I personally would not recommend taking syrup of ipecac and Vitality Capsules in the same day. I would definitely split that cleansing up. But again, with ayahuasca, it's a lot of puking and a lot of diarrhea, and people actually, one person lost 7 pounds that one night. No, there is no ayahuasca in Vitality Capsules, and there's no Vitality Capsules in ayahuasca. The two are just unrelated. Okay, what's happening next week? Next week, have we got a show? Gary Null is helping us out next week. Gary Null is going to be our special guest. He's written a new book on diet and arthritis. Yes, diet and arthritis. And I'm excited to hear what he recommends in terms of diet and arthritis. So please email me at support@vitalitycapsules.com. Email me with your questions for Gary Null. So you want to be sure to find out everything he's thinking about arthritis and diet. Now, just for your information, medical doctors have got that one sewn up. There is no relationship between diet and arthritis. So that's what we were taught in medical school. Don't believe it. Your patients will tell you, but it's not true. So that's what we were told in medical school. Diet and arthritis, no relationship. And, of course, I know better than that because I've cured many people's arthritis with diet. So we'll look forward to Gary Null next week with arthritis and diet. Let me just check and see if there are any more questions. Yes, we have a question here. Oops. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. It's me again. You mentioned that you have a new husband that told you about this ayahuasca stuff.
Oh, not a new husband. 4 years ago or 5 years ago, I wasn't married to him at the time. So this was before we were married, and we went and did ayahuasca together. Now, after he did ayahuasca once, he said, "That's it. I'm done. No more. Okay, thank you. Goodbye."
Oh, well, so, congratulations, Dr. Daniels. This is Miriam. Could you please give me a call?
Yes, I will.
Oh, congratulations. When did you get married?
It's been 4 years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
A native from the...
No, it's an American. He just happened to be down here. So it was a native United States person who speaks English, not a native Panamanian. Okay, so that is it. So, wait, we have 90 seconds left to go, and I have to do station identification one more time because I didn't do station identification like I was supposed to. You're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at BlakeRadio.com. As always, please visit VitalityCapsules.com and get your free gift, non-antibiotic solutions to 10 common infections, or herbs so powerful they could make antibiotics obsolete. They certainly did in my medical practice, and they can definitely help you too. Of course, disclaimers, it's not promise, not practicing medicine. Individual results may vary, and as I say, check with your doctor before you do anything with your body because he really owns it. That's what they told us in medical school anyway. Okay, so here's our exit music. Oh, wait, we have one more question. I think we have time for one more question. Okay, you're on the air.
Hi, bless your heart, Dr. Daniels. My name is Gail. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you about the ayahuasca.
Yes.
I actually did the ceremonies myself. I've taken it like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. But what I'm wondering is I didn't get the opportunity to hear your whole program, so I apologize if it's something you've already said and I just missed it. But I am currently dealing with a large breast tumor, and I did not notice it having any difference at all whatsoever with that.
Exactly. I covered that. That the results range from no effect at all to partial effects. It's not a cure-all.
Okay.
Because I've done it several times with different groups of people each time, and there was a range of responses from none to marked, but it wasn't a, oh, my God, I'm cured, you know. That's not
right.
That's not what it is. Yeah.
Right. But I will tell you, one thing that has been having a great impact besides prayer is I've been doing turpentine liniments on it with applying heat over it.
You have to be careful with that because
really?
It can cause your skin to break. Yeah, it can cause your skin to break open. So if you want to do liniments, fine. I would not recommend the heat. I'd rely on your body heat to keep it very safe because you're really, when you add heat to it, you're treading into a whole different area.
Oh, thanks for telling me that. Yeah, I've been cautious,
yeah.
but and it's been diluted. The turpentine's been diluted in castor oil, but I just wanted to let you know it has been good results. So.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Okay, we have one more question. We can take one more question. Oh, you're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, did you have a question?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Well, that's the end of our show for today. We'll see you next week.